Welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, brought to you by Money Magazine, creating financial freedom for Australians since 1999. Please remember that the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are general in nature, and further independent advice and research based on your personal circumstances should be sought before making an investment decision.
Today on Friends with Money, we're focusing on FIRE, financially independent, retire early. Money Magazine ran a FIRE special earlier this year where we talked to different members of the community about their aims, their journeys, and any setbacks in view of the lockdowns. The issue was a great success and sparked a lot of interest both from those wanting to live the FIRE lifestyle as well as those like me who finds it hard to save too much from today for tomorrow, but definitely found the lifestyle inspiring. Today I have FIRE community member Emily Smith, better known on Instagram as BabyFIRE30, to talk about her experiences. Thanks so much for joining me today, Emily.
Nice to be here.
Can you tell me a bit about yourself and getting started on your blog and what got you there?
Yeah, so I'm a 30-year-old teacher. I live in Brisbane, and I've been interested in FIRE since I finished university. And it was lockdown last year that I started. You know, I had lots of spare time on my hands. And I started my Instagram then. I was following a lot of other people's blogs and Instagrams for, 10 years. And I really liked when people shared their own numbers. I think, with my friends in real life, no one really talks about numbers in a lot of detail. So I just loved when people shared in all their detail, all their finances, all their spending, all their investments. So that's why I decided to start my Instagram was, I wanted to give back to that kind of community of money.
And so I think a lot of people think that, people join the retire early community because they want to retire early and they must obviously hate their jobs because of that. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I think that's when I first started reading about it. 10 years ago, there was a lot of big blogs that was their whole focus. They just wanted straight out of the rat race as early as possible. But I think as time has gone on and it's become a more popular kind of movement, if you will, that there's a lot more, shades of it. And, there's lots of new acronyms: Lean FIRE, Coast FIRE, Barista FIRE, Baby FIRE.
Please take us through them.
So I think the more popular ones, so there's normal FIRE, you just have enough in investments that you can cover your entire expenditure. Lean FIRE, so it's kind of living a very lean life. I've seen, examples where people spend less than $40,000 a year and so their investments will cover $40,000 a year. Or some people just look at Lean FIRE as it's enough to cover their minimums, their absolute necessities. And then, they might keep working to sort of surpass that to then cover holidays and what have you. Fat FIRE is when people want lots of money. They have big expenses in their retirement, $150,000 plus in expenses. And then the other one, so Barista FIRE is kind of what I'm aiming for, I guess. So it started in the US where health insurance is such a big thing in the US. And Starbucks is one of the companies that offered health benefits to part-time employees. So I think of Barista FIRE as a part-time FIRE. And that's what I'm aiming for, is that I have some investment income coming in that I can work part-time after a certain point.
I guess all in all, it gives you some freedom to make the choices. You don't feel that you have to stay in a job just because you needed to pay the bills.
Yeah, that's it. It's freedom. It's choice. So, which is what everyone wants, right? That's all we want in life, is a bit of freedom.
Yeah. And I guess the fact that you're a teacher, it shows that you're not on the highest income around, but you're managing to live a good life but also put away for the future. So would you say that it's possible for anyone, or do you have to be pretty careful? Like how do you manage?
Well, it's certainly possible for everyone, but I definitely think at the lower incomes it's hard because your rent and those minimum expenses are just such a high portion of your income. So, I mean, teachers, we earn above average. We earn above the, you know, Australian average. So I think teachers are reasonably well paid, and I find it quite easy to save and invest on my income, which is, you know, 100 grand a year. I find that quite comfortable. And there are definitely blogs out there with people earning around that average, you know, 60, 70, and they're still managing to save. Maybe they won't retire when they're 30 or 40, but certainly before 65.
And so what's your aim? When do you want to retire or to have the freedom to not be working full time anymore?
I'm not going to have kids, hopefully, for another few years. I'm not quite ready financially or emotionally. But my plan is, once I have kids, I would just love to have a few years off raising them, both my partner and I having, you know, a significant amount of time off when the kids are young. And then perhaps then going to part-time work sort of for the rest of their childhoods. So hopefully semi-retired at 35.
It's very much for you about the lifestyle choice, isn't it, you know, to have that freedom.
Yeah, definitely. And that's kind of why I became a teacher as well. I have a science degree, and, you know, there's many high-paying jobs in science. But teaching, there's just a lifestyle benefit, and that's what I wanted. You know, I want time and willing to sacrifice money for time.
Yeah, fabulous. And so you have a partner at the moment, and you're both on this journey together.
Yeah, he's less keen, I guess. He's like a natural saver. He just saves without kind of realizing it. And he doesn't spreadsheet or, you know, follow Instagrams or blogs or anything. But yeah, I think he definitely sees the benefit in saving hard while you're young, because the benefits will be there, you know, when you're a bit older.
And so when you're working out your spreadsheets and so on, is there a bit of, I guess, the challenge and the competitiveness with other people in the movement that you've got it right and you're doing the right things and you can save that a little bit more this month? How does that work?
I actually don't experience that. Maybe some people do. That's definitely for sure. I definitely get jealous when I see other people saving more. It's like, oh, I wish I could save 60% of my income. Or, you know, I see people earning so much more, and it's like, oh, if I was them, I could do all these kinds of things. But I really think it's everyone has such an individual journey that there isn't that competition. I think maybe in real life amongst friends, there's more competition than there is amongst people online. Maybe it's the anonymity of being online, or just that the fact that we're seeking out these communities, that they naturally have quite a positive feel to them.
And so are you looking for ways not just to save, but ways to earn extra income, like maybe to do some tutoring shifts or to do other things so that you can build up your nest egg more quickly?
Yeah, definitely. So I used to tutor. As a teacher, it's quite easy. I tutored for a number of years, paid quite well. I don't do it anymore. And there's kind of a wee bit of a divide in the community about whether side hustles are worthwhile or not. You know, some people love them. They think they're great. You can earn so much more. And other people think they'd rather focus on their 9-to-5 and upskilling themselves in their main job. I'm kind of torn. I liked tutoring. I thought it was a great income. You know, when I had more time on my hands, it was great, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. Now, as I'm a bit older, I don't really have that drive as much to earn. You know, that little bit extra per year doesn't mean as much to me anymore.
And is Baby Fire about your age?
Oh, no. So there's kind of two meanings behind Baby Fire. So the first one is like a play on words, because it's a little bit of fire. It's not full fire. I'm not going to fully retire. It's just a little baby about. And the other reason I call my Instagram Baby Fire is that I want a fire because of children, babies. I want to have a family one day. And yeah, the whole reason I've been on this kind of saving and investing journey from a young age was I knew I wanted children, and I knew that I wanted to spend as much quality time as possible.
That's great. And I guess once you've got that actual goal in front of you, it makes it easy because you know what you're doing it for. Are you young in the community, or is this something that people get into at an early age or maybe later? I don't know.
Yeah, actually, that's kind of hard to tell. I guess Instagram naturally, which is where I spend most of my time, Instagram and Reddit, they tend to have a naturally a younger audience. So yeah, I've got to sort of speak to a mix of people. There are, like, you know, ladies in their early 20s, you know, 20, 21, and they blog and have Instagrams and YouTube accounts. And they're very young, you know, 20, 21. They've only just started their first full-time job. So I don't know. I feel average, but I could be wrong. I've never looked at the data of the average age of.
And does being focused on your finances mean that you're choosing your friends for different reasons? Like, if friends are not on the journey with you or they're not committed to putting money aside, I guess they can afford different lifestyles.
Yeah, I've never really thought about that. I've got a few friends in real life that I do speak to about money, and we're sort of relatively open with each other about it. But maybe I just don't have friends that are super extravagant. I haven't really noticed anyone in my life be super crazy, but so maybe I'm biased being around teachers, or I was in a rural town for a long time. Maybe we just don't have big spenders like you would in other circles.
So I imagine it would be hard if, you know, some of your group is, you know, ready to blow a big amount on a Friday night or go to a really expensive restaurant or whatever it is, you know, it would mean that you're kind of avoiding those people a little bit because, it, you know, you can't afford to do that or you've chosen not to.
Yeah, that's true. I can definitely see that happening. And I can kind of see it from the other perspective as well. People don't want to hang out with a miser or, you know, someone who's a bit tight. So, yeah, I guess it goes both ways. You naturally want to hang out with people who are like yourselves.
So. Yeah. So, when I was your age, you know, money wasn't something that was talked about a lot, and super was definitely not discussed, and you didn't know really what people were earning and so on. What are your friends and colleagues like when it comes to talking about money?
I think people are mostly pretty open about it. There's been some changes, I guess, that have made it more accessible. You know, those micro investing apps. I have so many friends that have, even if they've not fully committed to it, they've at least dabbled in some of those micro investing apps. So there's a lot more that's sort of more acceptable to talk about. It's like, oh, I have Concept Pocket. Oh, I use that too. And we can talk about those kinds of things. And the other thing I reckon is Super's first home super saver scheme. That's brought super to be so much more, relatable to people my age, because they want to buy a first house. So using the first home super saver scheme is one of the tools that's, you know, available to us. And then it brings so many more conversations about super, yeah, into the forefront. I went to a wedding and, you know, didn't necessarily know people super well, you know, as you do at a wedding, you're sort of all friends of friends. And super came up in one of those conversations because of the first home super saver scheme.
And so then would people discuss what funds they're in and whether they're performing well and all that, or that's a bit too far?
No, I don't know anyone's balances, for example, and no one that I know really talks about their investment mix unless I feel like I bring it up a lot. So if I bring it up, then people are willing to talk about it. But I wouldn't say many, yeah, voluntarily talk about that level of detail.
And would you know, like, generally what most of your friends are earning?
Yeah, actually that is one thing I do know. You know, even if it's just hints about what people say, or like, oh, I earn more than him, I earn more than my partner, or, you know, what have you, you can kind of piece things together. So, yeah, I think income is definitely an acceptable topic that people do talk about, yeah.
So what are the main concerns of people your age? Like, what are the topics that would come up in conversation that may or may not be money related?
Good question. I mean, the obvious answer here is buying a home, property. That's something we talk about in my staff room at work very frequently. There's several young people looking to buy their first home, and it gets talked about. Everyone in the staff room will chime in about their opinions and, you know, the woes of it. So definitely, you know, housing affordability. Other things that people talk about a lot or that are important, I think it sounds like a really dumb answer, but people just want to be happy, and people are trying to just carve their way through this life, aiming for that happiness. And, you know, for different people that takes different paths, of course.
And I guess that would come into the freedom and the freedom to choose what kind of job you take and how much you work and the pressures and all that sort of thing.
Yeah, definitely.
So what have you found on your blog that resonates best with people? Like, what are the things that you get the most responses for?
There's sort of a mix. People love milestones. There's, you know, that famous idea of the first 100,000 is the hardest, and people love that because it really is the first 100,000 that you invest is, God, it takes forever. But after that, that snowball effect. So I think people quite like seeing those milestones because, you know, if they're not at that milestone yet, they can see that, oh, it doesn't actually take that long, you know, to get to the next step once you've got to one. So there's sort of that comparison if they can put themselves into your timeline and see where they sort of fit in, like, how long will it take to get here? How long will it take before I've got this much invested? So I find that resonates quite well. And the other thing that resonates quite well is sort of money management. So when you get paid, what do you do as soon as you get paid? I like to, as soon as I get paid, I have all my different savings accounts, my investment account, and I just like to shovel money into those accounts. I guess it's called a zero-based budget. So that's what I like to do with my money. And, yeah, people love to sort of talk about their different strategies for payday, what happens on payday.
Because obviously retire early means that you wouldn't be waiting till the retirement age and you couldn't access your super, is there much concern about putting extra money in your super, or do people prefer to keep it outside so that you can draw on it whenever you need to?
Yeah, there's a lot of debate about that. I mean, super is our money, like we're going to get it one day. So I certainly look at early retirement as there's two phases. There's your phase that's outside or pre-super, and then once you get to retirement age or your preservation age, then you can access super. So I definitely see benefits in both of them, because super is our money. It's not our money yet, but it will be our money one day. And I know some people are very worried about, you know, changes to law. Will that preservation age keep getting pushed back and back? You know, and then the really big ones of, oh, what if the government steals our money? So there's that. So I do understand where they're coming from in terms of the changing to that preservation age and when they can access it and all the rules. You know, no one likes rules, but navigating those rules is something that people are a bit wary about, I guess.
So when people you know, your age and younger, and they're getting on top of their money and they've got savings together, I guess that if you're doing it as a single person and then you're going into a relationship, that can be a bit of a tricky issue. Is that something that comes up as well?
Yeah, definitely. Combining finances, I think, no matter your age, is scary, or even choosing to not combine finances is a totally valid option as well. Yeah, I think I've been quite lucky in finding my partner, Matt. He's, as much as he's not super into the FIRE community, he probably doesn't even know what it stands for, let's be honest. our life goals and life dreams are very much aligned. So I think finding someone who just sort of complements your life, and then hopefully finances just sort of follows along with that. So, yeah, there's a lady I work with, and she's a bit younger than me, so she's in her late 20s, and she hasn't got a boyfriend yet, but it's already something she's worried about. She's already worried about how would she combine finances, how does she protect her investments that she's got in case something did go wrong down the future, down the track. So, yeah, it's definitely a big thing. My partner and I haven't necessarily talked in detail about how we're going to combine finances. I have an idea in my head about how we'll combine finances, but we have yet to have that discussion. And that, even to me, that's quite scary. It's like, what if that's the point that we truly don't align, and how will we get over those sort of hurdles? What discussions and communication you know, will be had, what's going to be important to us.
When you start talking about the relationships and, you know, how you're going to combine finances and so on, when you say that you're already aligned on your life goals, it's kind of tied together. Like when people talk about their finances, it's not always about finances and the money per se. It's about, you know, do we have the same goal? Are we saving? Do we want to have a house in a year's time? Or do we want to have a big holiday and so on? But you've got to just have those discussions to make sure that you're on track, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. And I guess they don't need to be one big conversation. Those little ones, as you say, just about life in general, saving in general, all those little conversations along the way definitely build to that bigger picture.
And do you find that with friends and, you know, your followers that are in relationships, that one person generally takes the lead?
Yeah, I have found that. Maybe it's just because the strong leadership type also like to create blogs and YouTube accounts and what have you. But yeah, I definitely find there's one person who's very into it, loves their spreadsheets, loves being in control, loves telling the other person what to do. but yeah, there are some couples that I know that balance their money quite evenly, but I would say that's more rare.
And so what's next for you?
Oh, what's next? Okay. So up until now in my life, I've just been investing in the stock market. For the last 10 years, I've just been pretty consistently investing in shares. But as of this year, I started saving for a house deposit, which is very scary for me because I've never invested in property. It seems very scary. You know, the process leading up to a house, buying a house, there's so much paperwork and different people that you need to contact, broker, conveyancer, all those things absolutely scare me. So that's what's next for me is switching from investing in the stock market to buying a first home.
It's interesting because a lot of people would be more afraid of investing in the stock market. Most people think that they understand property much better.
Yeah, that's true. I kind of feel like I've done it in reverse. You know, most people do buy a house first and then, you know, invest in shares after that. But I don't know, investing in shares, it's now that, you know, the technology is all there that, you know, I just use the same broker as my bank. So I don't even need another app. I just log into my bank account and I can see my shares there. Compared to like when my parents first started and, you know, they had to phone call their broker to put in a buy, or they now email their broker still, which seems so old fashioned. So the technology has definitely made it much more accessible.
Emily, what have you learned from other bloggers and members of the FIRE community that might have taken you a long time to get on top of if you didn't have their words of wisdom?
I think lifestyle. When I first started reading blogs and sort of getting interested in FIRE was that you really have the choice to choose your own lifestyle. It sort of hadn't hit me before. You know, I was kind of following the same path as everyone else, school, uni, job, etc. But so I first started reading Mr. Money Mustache when I was about 21. Oh, and it changed my life. I would not be where I am now if I hadn't found that blog, just stumbled across it one day. Because he really advocates that it's your lifestyle. You can change absolutely anything about your lifestyle to, you know, if that's your goal to get a certain place, you can change absolutely anything about your lifestyle to get there. So when I first left university, because we had subsidized accommodation, it was only like a few hours outside of Brisbane, so it wasn't super rural, but the accommodation was only $50 a week. So if I hadn't found this blog, Mr. Money Mustache, that okayed that lifestyle choice, I don't think I would have made it. You know, we're all stuck on this, you know, school, uni, job, that if no one had stopped and said, it's okay to choose your own path, go live somewhere different for a few years and you'll save so much money. If I didn't have someone okaying that, then I don't think that I'd be where I am now.
That's amazing, actually. I think you hear those things at the right time and, you know, you're able to then pass on your wisdom to somebody else that wants to follow what you're doing.
Yeah. Finding it young is amazing and life-changing.
Yeah, and I wonder too, like I'm pretty sure you'll stick to it, but you know, when you talk about some of the younger bloggers who are 20, 21, I wonder if they will be able to stick with it or whether they'll make decisions coming up that it's no longer for them or something else is more important, you know, to do.
Yeah, but I'm glad they have the choice, right? At least they've found it, they know what the possibilities are, and if they choose to make another decision, that's fine. It's an educated decision.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Emily. It's been really great talking to you this afternoon.
Yeah, thank you. I've enjoyed the opportunity to talk more about FIRE. I just want everyone to learn all about it.
This episode of Friends with Money featured Emily Smith, Baby FIRE 30, talking about her FIRE journey. Remember, you can subscribe to Friends with Money wherever you listen to your favourite podcasts, and make sure you follow Money Mag Australia on all our social channels.
Thanks for listening to the Friends with Money podcast. For credible, independent, and easy to understand financial commentary, visit moneymag.com.au.